Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths. Our subject for this program is Whosoever Believeth. There may be a Bible Answers study group near you. If you would like to know, write to Bible Answers, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Recently, I was listening to a conversation. One asked the other, "Are you saved?" And he replied, "Saved from what?" And you know, that started me thinking, and I asked myself the question, "What is salvation?" And also, "Is it possible to obtain salvation after death?" But first, these programs are brought to you by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with many Bible study groups and by the friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. And now, Ed, my first question is, what is salvation? What does it really mean?
Well, Jesus said that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost.
Obviously, something has been lost in order for it to be saved. But now the question is, what was lost?
For the answer to that question, Russell, we have to go back to the time when sin originally came upon the human race and brought with it the penalty or the wages of sin, death. That was when our first parents transgressed divine law while they were still in Eden.
And what was it that they lost because of their sin? Did they lose the opportunity of going to heaven when they died? Is that it?
There's nothing said about that in the account of their fall into sin and death. As a matter of fact, it was only because they sinned that it became necessary for them to die.
Then what they really lost was life or the privilege of living. Is that your thought?
There's no other conclusion to reach, Russell, that is, not if we follow the simple outline of truth as it is given in the Word of God. In the loss of life, our first parents did, of course, lose their perfect home in Eden, also their dominion over the earth.
Ed, that is certainly very evident in the case of Adam and Eve, but is it also true of the entire family of man?
Indeed, the Bible so states the matter. Paul wrote, and I quote, "As by the disobedience of one sinner entered into the world, and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men because all have sinned." And again I quote Paul, "As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." It is well to notice that in these texts we have contrasted life with death, not a place of happiness, with a place of suffering.
So, now, again, what is salvation? Or just what does it mean to be saved? And in giving your answer, Ed, I would like it if you would take into consideration the text that is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, which declares that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life.
Well, first of all, Russell, let's look at this question in as simple a way as possible. If what we have learned thus far is true, if that which was lost was the privilege of living everlastingly on the earth, as that opportunity was first presented to Adam and Eve, then to be saved would mean the regaining of this opportunity, would it not?
Yes, of course. But it isn't as simple as that, is it? If it were, then it would seem to me that those who accept Christ and are saved would not need to die. They would just keep on living. Doesn't it appear that way to you also?
Eventually, it will be just that way, Russell, for that is what being saved will ultimately mean for all mankind, or I might better say, for all mankind who believe. They will not need to perish or die, just as that wonderful text of John chapter 3, verse 16 clearly promises.
Then, Ed, if that's what salvation means, why isn't it working out that way right now? Today, as you know, believers die even as unbelievers die.
I know that, and no doubt that is why, not understanding the full purpose of God, the conclusion is sometime reached that salvation must mean some different or better sort of life after death, which believers enjoy and unbelievers do not.
Well, is that not the case?
Well, only through faith in the atoning work of Christ, and that's the point, Russell. Believers of the present gospel age are invited to lay down their lives with Jesus, to suffer and die with him, in order that in the resurrection they may live and reign with him. That is why believing Christians seemingly die as do other people. Actually, however, they die with Christ. But first of all, and upon the basis of faith, they receive life through Christ. That is, they are saved from the original penalty of sin, and then they're invited to die sacrificially with Jesus.
And in return, they will receive life in a heavenly home with the Master. That is your point, isn't it?
That's right. And this special arrangement for the footstep followers of Jesus is described by the Apostle Paul as a great salvation, which he says began to be spoken by Jesus. Regarding the great plan of redemption, Jesus said, and I quote, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him might not perish." In the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 13, he's quoted as saying, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me."
What does it mean to draw all men unto Christ?
During this present age, God does the drawing of those who are invited to live and reign with Christ. "Fear not," he said, "little flock, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." But during the 1,000 years, when those who are drawn during this age are reigning with Christ, there will be a drawing of all men and an opportunity to give them an opportunity given them to believe on him and receive salvation.
Do you mean that those who have died in unbelief will then be given an opportunity to believe and to be saved?
Yes, that is, if they had not had a full opportunity in this life to believe.
Would you say that there are many who have not had such an opportunity to believe in this life?
I think we all know that millions of heathen have died in total ignorance of Christ. Other millions have heard about him, but have had him on the purpose of his coming so terribly distorted by the blinding influences of Satan that they have never really known of his love and of the glorious provision of life which he made for them by his death as their Redeemer.
So you think the resurrection of the dead is a very definite part of God's plan of salvation.
Yes, as we've seen, the vast majority of the human race have died in total or partial ignorance of the truth of God's love as it's manifested in Christ Jesus. In order for these to come to an understanding of this essential knowledge, they will need to be awakened or saved from the sleep of death. It is this that God has willed on behalf of all, in order that they may have an opportunity to believe and be saved eternally.
Well, that sounds like a very wonderful plan of salvation, I must admit.
Well, that's very true, Russell. Many of the beauties of that plan are set forth in the little book, Born of the Spirit. And Russell, will you please tell our listeners about this little book and how they may get a copy free?
Yes, Ed, I'll be glad to. This discussion has reminded me of the words of the poet who said that man has made God's love too narrow by false limits of their own. And friends, I'm glad to say that the little book, Born of the Spirit, really helps me to get a broader understanding of the love of God, and it will you too. We could scarcely do more than touch upon some of the wonderful things in the Bible pertaining to salvation and being saved from death, but the little book, Born of the Spirit, covers these questions in great detail, and I know you will thoroughly enjoy reading it. What does it mean to be born again? What will be the position of unbelievers in the judgment day? Why is Jesus referred to in the Bible as the last Adam? These are just a few samples of the many interesting questions you will find answered in this hope-inspiring little book, Born of the Spirit. Send for it now. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. I repeat the address. Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Just ask for Born of the Spirit, and it will be mailed to you free.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN. To receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.